Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. There are a lot of holiday options on stage around town right now, from First Stage's production of A Charlie Brown Christmas to the Milwaukee Reps about to open A Christmas Carol to a production at Skylight Music Theater that is playing to rave reviews and packed houses.
Skylight's production of the musical Annie opened just before Thanksgiving, and it features a number of powerful performances. The show is directed by our next guest, actor and director Molly Rohde, who joins me in the studio now. It is great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You should be sitting in a very happy place right now because Annie has been getting fabulous reviews. Congratulations.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I feel real good about it. Mm-hmm.
You should. And I guess I want to start with the choice of the show itself. I realize that you did not choose the show, but were hired to direct it. But what was it about it that made you say, yes, I do want to direct this?
I said yes very quickly because I have a nostalgia for it. It came out on Broadway in 1977, the year I was born, and the first big movie version was in 1982 when I was five, and I was obsessed with it as a kid. So as soon as the title was mentioned, I was pretty immediately in, just because of my memories of it.
Did it hold up for you, though, as an adult?
Oh, my goodness, did it ever. It was very interesting to go back to it as an adult and to go back to it as a parent. There are so many things about it that went absolutely over my head as a kid, and as well they should. But it has a lot more depth to it than I would have given it credit for. And I think a lot of people underestimate it. They're familiar with it as a show with that's great for a girl with a big voice and a cute dog, and that's kind of what we remember. But there's a lot of politics in it. There's a lot of social justice issues in it. It takes place in the Great Depression. It's December of 1933. It was a really, really hard time historically for the country, and a lot of what is in that play really still resonates and will continue to.
Well, the cartoon, the mm-hmm. comic that it was based on was very political at the time. And, you know, we think of it. And I think that's probably one of the reasons I asked you about coming back to it, because I think most of us who are adults think, it's saccharine, it's this, it's that.
Right.
And there's the big famous song and but yet there is so much more going on.
Yeah, and you understand why it's had such longevity when you see it again. Because, it holds up like crazy. And the cartoon now that it was based on is so far removed from our consciousness now. I think when you say the title Annie, people think first of the musical and the comic strip second.
Of course, it was Little Orphan Annie was the comic.
Exactly, exactly. Martin Charnin, the book writer and first director of the musical, he bought a compilation of the strip in book form at a bookstore for a friend for Christmas and decided to read it before he wrapped it. He gives great credit to the bookstore. He had the option to have it gift wrapped, and he said, no, I'll do that at home. And he read it before giving it as a gift, and within that same evening thought, this is my next show. Like, he was so struck by it. So, there's quite a lot in it, and it's no accident that it's had the life that it's had as a piece, and why it keeps coming back around.
So for you, what are some of the things that popped out at you as you were first delving into the script and the book? We'll get to the music in a minute, but just the story itself. What are some of the things that kind of surprised you?
Well, the very first thing, the obvious thing, is that the protagonist is a child, and not just a child, but a girl, and not your average girl protagonist, but a really fierce one. She's really fiery and spunky and tough, and that's incredibly captivating for a kid as an audience member. And I think that's why so many young people have a devotion to it as soon as they see it, because there's this incredibly strong character, and they're not the tallest one or the biggest one or the brawniest one on stage. It's this pipsqueak of a kid, and she's so powerful in her confidence. She's a really confident character, and she has a voice, and she is her own agent of change. That's what I love the most about the show. Things don't happen around her. She makes them happen. She sees an opening and she goes for it. You know, her story would not unfold if she weren't actively going after things. And that's a really compelling thing to put on stage.
And you look at the things that she comes face to face with. Yes, the country's in a depression. Yes, people are starving. Yes, all of these things are happening. She doesn't actually have it really easily.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, she as you say, she's one tough character, and she has to be.
Mm-hmm. And the show also has a lot of big social issues in it. You know, where the contrast of the poverty and the extreme wealth in the show is juxtaposed very starkly and not unfamiliar to us now. The president of the United States is a character in the play, and this kid from an orphanage ends up in a situation where she finds herself in the cabinet room at the White House. You know, it's fiction, but it's also really kind of exciting and compelling to think what sort of a journey is possible. And when given that opportunity, the fact that she's confident enough to speak up and an idea that she sparks for FDR in that scene inspires the New Deal, inspires the cabinet themselves. And I think that's a really powerful thing right now, because I think a lot of people feel disenfranchised, feel underrepresented. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Folks are dissatisfied. And so it's easy to lose hope, you know, to feel like, well, what can I do? How can I affect change? How can I make a difference? And so it's a small thing maybe, but I think it's especially powerful to kids to see that story play out on stage. And it is, I don't know what it is about the writing. It's just undeniably uplifting. And I found myself really needing that. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year socially. It's been a tough year kind of across the board, but it's also just downright biblical out there, natural disaster-wise. All the hurricanes, the flooding, the wildfires, earthquakes. There's a volcano set to erupt right now that they've evacuated a whole island because of. I mean, it's just you read the news right now, and there's a lot of really scary stuff going on.
You sort of feel like that volcano is going to erupt. Whatever it is, metaphorically or literally.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now on a lot of different levels. And so as I studied the play and was preparing for rehearsals and going through these scenes that I thought I knew, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, I get what's going on here. And she starts to sing the sun will come out tomorrow to this stray dog that she befriends on the street. I mean, it really is sort of like the lowest of the low is being depicted. She's run away from an orphanage. You know, where's she going to go? She's run away from an orphanage, and she befriends a stray dog, and she sings the most hopeful song about what's coming next. It could be anything. And that's that glimmer of hope, you know. And it better, right? It better. That sun better come out tomorrow. We need it to. We're desperate for it.
That'll come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow. So
and so it's a really it's a really satisfying and moving show, and her journey through it is exciting.
Do you find that the people you've talked to who've seen it so far have felt buoyed by it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do, too. I mean, I saw it how many times day after day in the rehearsal room. And we go through the tech process. And, you know, by the time the show opens, the director has watched the play dozens and dozens of times. And you would think you'd get sick of it. But no. I mean, it's really a powerful piece. And we've got a group of young people in it that are absolutely stellar. And just their own chutzpah and their own spunk and the way they go after the storytelling. They are such powerful kids. That in itself is uplifting and inspiring and gets me excited about the future. You know, if I'm feeling down, feeling a little tragic on any given day because of whatever news story I may have read, I would go into rehearsal and get to work with these girls. And it was just so exciting.
How did they respond to the history of Annie? Obviously, you talked about it mm-hmm. in rehearsal and, you know, the depression and where. That is so far removed from their experience now. I mean, that's my parents' experience. Mm-hmm. It's almost a century ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And they're playing, the characters they're playing are orphans, which, you know, is a little rough to talk about and explain. But at the same time, they are familiar with refugee stories. They came to it very honestly and alarmingly honestly, really. They understood it better than I did. You know what I mean? There are lots and lots of current touchstones for which they could draw upon to understand exactly what the scenes are playing out and what their characters were up against.
So it made sense to them.
Absolutely. They're very smart, savvy kids, and none of these problems have gone away. So we may talk about them with different vocabulary than we do when we're talking specifically about 1933, but those touchstones are all around us, and the kids came to it with an unfortunate ease in terms of their understanding. I wish it were harder to talk to them about it. But
right, that you would have had to work harder to get them to understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in some ways that's really depressing that they understood it so well.
To be frank, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's also, this is an odd segue maybe, but it's also sort of a crazily timely Christmas story in that, you know, the main character and all of the girls at the orphanage, I mean, the nativity scene is about how do we treat the least among us? Right? And where does grace come from? And the show is all about that. And the haves and the have-nots and the income disparity that is in the show. You know, it's all of this makes it sound real maybe dark and deep, but it's a musical comedy at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
It's a show. It's an underestimated, you know, piece that really has a lot to offer in a lot of different ways and is incredibly funny and character-driven and
it has some great tunes.
Delightful, but it is full of guts as well. It does. It has great music. And I think it was a really wise and smart choice by the artistic director, Ray Jivov, to program it. And one of the things that he's talked about often while we were in rehearsal was his commitment to young people in the arts and the next generation of artists in Milwaukee and how exciting it was to be able to program a show like this where we have so many young performers in the cast and their families involved at the Skylight and that energy, that youthful energy in the rehearsal hall every day is infectious. And it was good for all of us. And it's great for the audiences.
Well, Molly, I'm glad you came back to do this one. It's great to see you again.
Thank you.
And let's not make it so long next time.
Okay.
Come in sooner and tell me what's going on.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Molly Rohde directs the current production of the musical Annie on stage at Skylight Music Theater through December 27th. There is more information at wuwm.com.